You're listening to ABC Radio Perth
with Gillian O'Shaughnessy.
So it started out pretty innocently, actually, in high school. I remember in maths class, of all things, I was looking at the board and then the numbers just started to disappear and fade away. And it was almost like I looked directly at the sun. I don't know if you've ever experienced that, where you look at the sun and then away and you're just blinded by light still. It's almost like you're still staring at it. Well, that happened even when I was in the middle of a classroom. And what I later realized was that I was experiencing a migraine with aura, which is this visual disturbance, and you see all these flashing lights, and it's a very sort of bizarre experience. And shortly after that sort of very unusual experience, which was very confusing and a little bit disconcerting, I was rushed to the infirmary with a very severe headache. And I got two ibuprofen from the infirmary nurse. And, a couple hours later, I got picked up by my mum, and I was just in all sorts of pain. And as you described, I had nausea, I had sensitivity to light, sound, even sensitivity to movement. And I was like that for the next 24 hours. It was really, really painful. Fortunately, at that stage, though, I only had sort of one or two attacks a year. And so whilst I didn't have a migraine attack, I just didn't really think about it. I just kind of ignored it. I swept it under the carpet. And got on with my life and carried on like a normal teenager. And that pretty much continued up until I had a shoulder injury in my early 20s when I was playing football. And that's when things really changed. They started to spiral out of control. And maybe it was the tendons in my shoulder that were affecting my neck. I still don't really know to this day what was going on. But I went from maybe two attacks a year to six attacks a week. And it got to the point where I could no longer ignore my condition. It was affecting my relationship with my friends. It was affecting my job. And I was just depressed. I was anxious. And it wasn't just the pain of the attack either. It was the psychological torment that was going along with the migraines, because they were happening. Like, I wouldn't know when they would happen. So it could happen at any time. And it was often happening at the worst times as well. So it was really just awful.
So the anticipation of it was part of the issue for you?
Yeah, it caused anxiety. And I would actually, it didn't at first, but, it's like being locked in a pitch black room and you've got someone else there who's got night vision goggles who is just whacking you with a baseball bat. You get hit once, you're not too bad, you're a bit shaken up. You get hit 100 times, eventually you end up in a ball just rocking back and forth, like you're a ward patient. And that's what was happening to me. And I was seeing all the best doctors that money could buy. I was spending a fortune and I wasn't getting anywhere.
So what did you do?
So after literally spending thousands of dollars and was 6 years into this sort of misery, I eventually said, look, if anyone's going to get me out of this, it's going to have to be me. And so I sort of took some time off work. I started researching, finding out what was going on. I started keeping a daily diary. And within a couple of months, I actually halved my migraines. And I had some help as well from some people and from some experts. And it was through these anonymous people that I was actually able to turn the corner in my migraine condition. And my energy levels returned, my confidence returned, my zest for life returned. And that was really the inspiration for bringing together these experts for the Migraine World Summit, because I feel like I owe it to those people that helped me to now pay it forward to those people that are still trapped in that dark room.
So was it about medication, or was it a combination of things that helped you, Carl?
Yeah, it's a really tricky thing. There's no two migraine patients that are alike. Migraine is a complex, multifactorial disease, and for many people it's a chronic illness. And migraine affects more people than diabetes, epilepsy, and asthma combined. So there's 3 million people in Australia that have migraine, and there's no cure. So the treatments are going to vary for different people. And what works for one person may not work for another, and it might be a combination of factors, and that certainly was the case for me. So there's no sort of silver bullet that helps everyone. It's going to be highly variable on your own situation, your own lifestyle, your own behavioural habits and factors, and what treatments are going to be suited to your own sort of health profile.
So keeping a diary was a very important part of the process, it sounds like.
I think everyone needs to know their own habits and what they're doing that might be affecting their own condition. So knowing yourself as well as knowing about migraine is an important step, absolutely.
Now, the Migraine World Summit, talk us through the experts you have gathered there, what they will bring to it and how it is working.
Yeah, so I really feel privileged this year with the Migraine World Summit. These experts really are the top world leaders in the field of headache and migraine. These are the people who teach the doctors. These are the people that the doctors will travel internationally to listen to at the scientific congresses and conferences, at the medical conferences, to learn about headache. So we have researchers, authors, geneticists, neurologists and specialists within that field. Some examples are the president of the International Headache Society, the director of the Mayo Clinic. We have people from the Cleveland Clinic and a lot of the top hospitals within the US and universities as well. And they're talking about a whole range of different topics about natural treatments for migraine, some new treatments that are coming in the research pipeline. We're talking about some medicinal treatments that people may not have tried or may not have been suggested to by their doctor. But we're also talking about some other aspects that are easily skipped over, but are just as important, like the impact that migraine has on your relationships and on your family and how you can handle that as well, because that's really important. We want people to have a quality of life as well when you're dealing with such a challenging illness.
Absolutely. Carl Cincinnato has organised the Migraine World Summit and we'll tell you how you can access that in a moment. Robert says on text that migraine changed his life, and I imagine that's a story that you would hear quite a lot. Carl, how do people access the information that you have at the summit?
Yeah, so the great thing about it is it's entirely free for the week. So people can visit the website and register, www.migraineworldsummit.com, and they'll get their personal link to the talks each day. So today's the first day. So they haven't missed anything if they go to the website now and register.
And you're expecting a strong response?
Yeah, we've got over 60,000 patients who have already registered and are watching the talk as we speak.
So, and I believe I was quite surprised that so many people who suffer from migraines don't consult a doctor.
This is a hard thing about migraine. A lot of people that have migraine haven't been diagnosed. And there's a lot of people out there who perhaps think they have sinusitis or sinus issues. And there's also a spectrum of people that have migraines. So there may be people like myself back in that maths classroom who only have migraine once or twice a year. And so they don't think about it the rest of the year. Like, or they try not to think about it and they don't get appropriate treatments. And then, of course, you have on the other side of the spectrum people that have migraine every day. And so there are a lot of people out there that haven't been diagnosed. And this is a great opportunity to find out what you actually have and what the best treatments might be.
Carl Cincinnato, our guest, he's organised the Migraine World Summit, and I'll repeat that information so you can log on and be a part of it if you're interested. It's free. Sebastian on text says, can you pin him down, Jill? It's got to be more than keeping a diary. And I know that you said the treatment's very different for everyone, Carl, but given that yours was so severe, what helped you?
So one thing I was told early by my doctor was to try one thing at a time, right? And so I did that for years and years, and I only ever tried one thing at a time because I was trying all different types of things. And I never really got anywhere doing that. And that makes sense when you're trying different medications. But where it doesn't make sense is where, for instance, you might be trying a healthier diet or where you're trying to get better sleep or where you're trying to do a bit of relaxation or meditation. Those things you can do all together. And then someone might say to you, well, if you're doing those things all together, how do you know which one works? And if someone said that to me, I'd be like, well, hang on a second. If you get a 50% reduction in your migraines, first of all, congratulations, because that's amazing. If I had 50% reductions and I was getting migraines every day, you just got 2 weeks of your life back every month. So I'd be celebrating that fact.
And can people both listen to the migraine experts that you've gathered for this online summit, but they can also submit questions?
Yeah, so the last day of the summit, we have a live Q&A panel where they can interact with the experts live, they can ask questions, and they can interact with the hosts as well, so they can get their questions answered.